Well, once again, my name's Jack. Glad that you're here. Don't have many announcements today, but wanted to make you aware that Connecting Point is a class that we're going to start offering next Sunday after church. It's with Pastor Tim, and it's a chance to learn what the Church of the Nazarene is all about. So if you're new to Grace Point, or if you're new to the Church of the Nazarene, it's a chance to take a three-week membership class. Pastor, am I right on that? Three-week membership class. And I believe that there is food available if you sign up for this class. If you're already a member of this church, sorry, it's not for you. But I believe we do have a few couples already signed up, so please sign up. Today's the last day. Sign up in the foyer. You won't be alone should you choose to sign up. So love to have you there. Awesome.
Thank you, Jack. It's really a one-event Sunday. You don't have to attend all three of them. It would be great. I want you to, but if you can't attend the other two, it's still okay to come to the first one and learn a little bit about the church. Isn't God good? He's so good to us. I want to recognize Pastor Elena sitting right here. Would you stand and wave at us? Amen. It's a blessing. We have prayed for her. We prayed for her husband. Her husband passed away not too long ago. And we just want you to know we love you. And it's a joy to have you. And if you'd like to transfer your membership back to Grace Point, that would be okay. That would be okay. Many of you were here at Grace Point when Elena ministered here. And I know it's a joy for you to be here and for them to see you. Well, this morning, we will be partaking of communion at the conclusion of the sermon today. And I'm so glad that you're here today on this Labor Day. I never know what to expect on Labor Day weekend, but you're here, and I'm thrilled. You know, years ago, back in the dark ages when I was young and stupid, I would come to a weekend, Memorial weekend or Labor Day weekend, and, you know, the crowds were sparse, and I'd just get all over those people. And they're the ones who came to church. You know, and then, you know, one day I woke up, and, you know, I probably shouldn't bark at people who were there. So anymore in my advanced age, I'm thankful that you're here. And it's wonderful to worship with you today. I love the story. I think I've told it before, and I've heard it. It comes in the form of a joke, but a newly married couple were putting house together, and they were planning for their first Sunday meal, and the wife, a new wife, was busy putting the roast together, and as she was putting it in the pan, she cut off the ends of the roast. And the husband was like, what are you doing? Like, that's the best part. And the wife said, no. My mom says that if you cut the ends off the roast, it's going to taste even better. And the husband he was not convinced. And so he said, well, I'm going to call your mom. And he called his new mother-in-law and said, you know, I don't get this. Do you really think, yeah, if you cut the ends off, it's going to make the roast even better. And he said, who taught you that? He said, well, my mom taught me that. And so he called up the grandma, called her up and says, Nana, I'm trying to figure out why in the world you guys cut the ends off the roast. Everyone says it'll make the roast taste better. And she says, No. No. I cut the ends of the roast so it'll fit in the pan. Now, we could tell stories today of all the things that we've done for many years, come to discover that it really didn't make sense at all. It could have been something you were brought up with, but it sort of leads me into the conversation today that I want to have and talk a little bit about communion. Communion is one of those things that if you're if you're unfamiliar, or even if you've been doing it for many, many years, we sort of lose track of why we come together, why we once a month have a conversation and receive communion together. And so I know you've been up and down this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. If you believe that, I've got some underwater property I'd like to sell you. But I believe in that we ought to stand in reverence to the Word of God together. And I want us to read these passages of Scripture that are on the screen behind me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. And you're doing so well this morning that I want you to help me read these words together. So here we go. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." This is the word of the Lord, and you may be seated. Imagine Jesus a few hours from the cross. He has His crowd around Him, His boys around Him, His disciples around Him. And He has an opportunity to pour into them one last time as a group before the main event. What would you say to a group of people that you had poured into and done life with and instructed and taught and became as family? What would you say to those men or women if it would happen to you in your environment? Last words are really, really important. Well, in this case, in the traditional Passover meal, Jesus at one point took a loaf of bread and He held it up after breaking it. And He said, "This is My body broken for you." Now, this was the first time this had happened, just like that. Jesus is starting something new that He wanted us to carry on. The disciples didn't know what was getting ready to happen, but Jesus understood what was getting ready to happen to Him. He knew that in a few short hours, His body would be broken. He knew that He would be stripped down. He knew that He would be beaten so severely that He would be unrecognizable to anyone else. He knew that He would be hurt, and He would be terribly, terribly broken. The disciples would get it in a few hours, but at that moment they were probably quizzical, and Jesus was planting a seed. And so He said, "This is My body, which is broken for you." And then He raised the cup. It was a common cup. As you know, they passed it around at the time of the drinking, but He said, "This is My blood poured out for you." So in that moment of wonder, that moment of inspiration, and that moment of probably confusion, Jesus offered some new words. So this morning I want to take a look at communion, and I want to use it on this Labor Day weekend to remind us about what we're getting ready to do and the importance of it, because I think sometimes we can cut the ends off the roast and not know why we're doing it. The word communion, some of your versions out of this passage will say participation, some will say communion. The word is a wonderful word, communion. It comes from the Greek word koinonia. It means participating. It means sharing. Communion means common union. It means coming together. We love the word koinonia. It's participation, joining, bonding. Think of it like this. How many of you, when you were kids, you're my age, if you can remember when you were kids, and you watched the movie. Some of us didn't do that back then. Did you watch the movie Jaws? How many can remember your first showing of Jaws? Hold your hands high. Okay, and how many of you, after you watched Jaws, could never swim in the ocean the same ever again. Yeah. My wife won't even take a bath. I mean, she takes a shower. She does clean up, but sorry, dear. I'm in serious trouble. Sorry, dear. Lord, help me now. Swimming was never, and now we have all these shark attacks, right? So the best thing to do is stay on land. Have you ever been in a lake and just knew there were shark in there? It affects us. It's a common experience. Maybe like me, you lost a loved one to the disease of Alzheimer's. You know, anytime I talk to someone who went through the disease of Alzheimer's, we have an instant bond. Or you've lost a child, or you went on a trip somewhere and you find someone and you bonded immediately with a shared experience. Well, just think about it. This morning, we are going to join forces, and you know, who knows when churches do communion, but the reality is for 2,000 years, millions and millions and millions of people have received the Lord's Supper, and we bind ourselves together under the understanding and the unity that there was a man called Jesus who came down into this world, who died on the cross, who carried our sins, who shed his blood, who was buried in a grave, who resurrected from the grave and ascended to the Father, and one of these days he's coming to take us to be with him if we know him. We unify under the banner of the cross. Amen? Participation. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16 shows us this. It says, it's not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Jesus. And it's not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ. In the margin, if you write in your Bibles, by the word participation or communion, the NIV I think says communion, you can just write the word koinonia. Give thanks, which we get a communion in the blood of Jesus. So when we partake in a moment of the symbols of the body and the blood of Jesus, we are joining ourselves together. We are participating not only with one another, but we are participating in the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how does that apply to all of us here in this place? Well, I want to give us three quick encouragements. There are probably more than three. Surely there are more than three. But three things that we share, and I'm going to have us focus on this morning as we receive communion in a few short moments. And here's the first one. When we receive the Lord's Supper encourages us to look within. And the reality is, if you found Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there was a day when it didn't look too good on the inside. Can I get a witness? I know y'all look holy, but you were pretty bad people until Jesus found you. I don't care how good you are. And even when you're a Christian, you can have days where it doesn't look too good on the inside. I mean, you could be living in the Spirit and drive up on the parking lot of the church. Someone steals your parking lot and you want to kill. And you love Jesus. I mean, I hope that's few and far between. But you know what I'm saying? And so communion is an opportunity to look within. Reminds me of the story. I love this little story about a little boy who came to church one Sunday morning, and they were going to receive communion together as a church family, and in their culture they came down front, and so this little boy joined his family, and as the pastor was going from person to person, he stopped at the boy and he said, "I'm sorry, young man, you can't receive communion." And he was put out. "Why not?" "Son, you're too young." And he was just, you know, you could see steam coming up. And he got up and he stomped back to his seat and he folded his arms and there he sat, all ticked off because he couldn't receive communion. After a little while, communion was over and the ushers came down to receive the offering, and the offering came by him and he kept his arms folded. And he said, "I don't eat, I don't pay." Have you ever felt like that? About 2009, and you know, I think in the Church of the Nazarene, sometimes because we believe in salvation, of course, and then we believe in going deeper into the Lord and consecrating all of our lives and being sanctified entirely and being consumed by God. And sometimes we have the wrong impression that if we're saved and sanctified, full of the Holy Spirit, then that's it. We won't ever sin again. I don't know if you've ever heard that kind of preaching, but the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus does give us power and victory over sin, but it doesn't erase the possibility that in this life we could sin. And thank God that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In fact, I always say a mark of a holy person is one who recognized they've grieved the Holy Spirit and they want to take care of it right now. That's a sign of a holy person. We just got to be honest about this stuff. And so, you know, we think sometimes that we can't admit that something's wrong because, you know, I've been saved and sanctified and I'm a member of the church and I give and I serve and, I don't want anyone to know. And the reality is we hurt ourselves if we don't regularly, in the presence of God, look within and just say, God, if there's anything that stands between you and I, please reveal it. Because isn't it true we don't want anything between us and the Father? Yeah. You could sit here today and you could be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You could be well aware that in your life right now there is sin. You have committed sin or you've not given your heart and life to Jesus, or you're struggling in some way and you feel shame and you feel guilt and the reality is communion is an opportunity that God gives us and the church gives us to look within and evaluate and create inventory of where we are spiritually. I just want to say to you, if there's something in your life this morning that separates you from a loving God, His arms are wide open today. He loves you unconditionally. And if you will but confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's grace. The person ought to examine himself, Paul says. Before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. I just want to read a little portion more. Verse 27, so anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. You know, we have this sense in our culture today where if we don't get our way or we act in a certain way that's not proper or correct, we feel, many in our culture feel entitled. It'll be okay. It's okay. It's just me. It's the way I roll. It's the way I operate. It's okay. And we live in a culture today where people are doing all kinds of things in the name of, it's okay, it's just me. I'm not perfect. And God's not calling us to be perfect. He's calling us to be holy, right? And when it comes to receiving communion, Paul is very clear that when we receive, we're participating in the death and the burial and the resurrection and the life of Christ. We're connecting ourselves. We're participating one with another. But we are saying, I'm a believer in Jesus and I have given my heart to Him and I will not endanger my spirit by partaking of something that right now in my life is not consistent. So, we're not talking about human perfection. We're talking about a heart that strives after God. And the only way we can get a handle on that is to look within. Right? You could look within today and you can remember. You can remember what Jesus has done for you way back when. Which leads us to the second thing. When we receive communion, the Lord's Supper encourages us to look back. When we receive communion in just a few short moments, I'm going to ask you to remember the day, if you can remember it, the day that Jesus saved you. It's a great day. from life, from darkness to light, from death to life. So maybe a little history here. The Lord's Supper was piggybacked on the Passover. You are probably very well familiar with the Passover. The first Passover occurred when right before God led through Moses the Israelites out of Egypt. And you remember all the plagues, and the final big plague was God said, listen, if Pharaoh, if you Egyptians, if you people do not let the Israelites, the Jewish people go, I'm going to strike down the eldest of every home, the eldest of every animal. It was a serious thing, but there was a pass for the Israelite nation. Remember what it was? Right. So they instituted the Passover where an innocent, unblemished lamb was slaughtered. And the blood was placed on the doorpost. So the sides of the doorpost and the top of the doorpost, and they did it with some spongy material. And I just want you to think about this for a moment, that when you soak a sponge in a substance and you put it on the top of the doorpost and you shut the door, there is a drippage that will occur down the door. And if you envision it in your mind, what's it a symbol of? Both sides. And it's almost a foreshadowing of what is to come. And so Moses told the people in Exodus chapter 12, when your children ask you, what in the world is that? Tell them it's the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of Israel in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians' firstborn. Well, now all these centuries later, Jesus is with his disciples around that table that day as they completed the Passover meal, and he breaks out the bread and he breaks out the wine and he instructs them and all of these things. We understand that in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, Luke's account, he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So what good memory is in your heart and life that you know exists because God did something good? How many of you can remember the date and the year of your conversion? Just show your hand. I don't know if you'll be embarrassed to do this, but can you just call out the date? Lenny, can you call out the date? Amen. Anyone else? Cliff? February 3rd, you had the same date, right? Both of you? Yeah. Anyone else want to let your date come out? Yes? Yeah. Angel? Yeah. Do you? Go ahead, Cecil. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1956. You look like you're 30, brother. Do you know your spiritual birthday? Now, you know, if you can't remember, it's not like bad on you and you're not going to make it. It's not the point. If you know Jesus, your life was changed in a moment. I mean, some of you could think about the day that you were going through life and struggling physically and God healed your body. You don't have to remember the date and the time, but how many of you can look back on your life and you know, God healed me? Show of hands. Yeah, praise the Lord. How many of you here today prayed for a child? You had trouble having a child in your early adulthood, and you prayed and prayed and prayed, and finally God blessed you with a child, either biologically or through adoption. Yeah, wow, okay, yeah. I mean, what good thing has God done? In a moment when you hold that bread and that cup, I'm going to have you just be ever so thankful for those moments. But there's one last thing I want to mention. The Lord's Supper encourages us to look forward. To look forward. In verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says this, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." Say that next line with me. "Until he comes." One of these days, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have received him into your life and you're a believer today, a follower of Jesus, sold out to Jesus, one of these days, we're going to stand in the presence of Jesus, the Lamb of God, and we will worship him forever and ever and ever and give glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We will do that when he comes. But until then, we're to proclaim what he has done for us. So, what do you look forward to? Let's just take some informal crowd participation, a poll, right? How many of you here have a loved one in heaven waiting on you? Show of hands. One of these days, I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know how that'll be. But we're going to enter heaven's gates. And there will be a crowd of people who have been cheering us on. And they will wrap their arms around your neck. And we will have a family reunion like you've never believed. You think this is pie in the sky, maybe? Not me, brothers and sisters. One of these days, we will join our loved ones and friends. Amen? Some of you here in this place, you struggle with pain and sickness. And I'm not asking you, do you want to go now? I'm just asking you, one of these days, are you looking forward to when you slip away from this life into the next life and land on heaven's shores and all of a sudden your pain is gone? Anybody? Struggle with pain a little bit? Yeah. How many of you struggle with emotional baggage or depression? And it's just hard and your mind is just all the time. One of these days, as God is faithful to you, which he will be, and you are faithful to him, you'll slip out of your body and you'll end up in heaven's throne room. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, your mind will be free. Amen? I want to ask you to hold your hand up for that one because it's a personal thing. See, the thing that Jesus does for us, the cross, salvation, the blood, all of that. If we are looking within, the Holy Spirit will show us anything that's in the way. Aren't you glad for that? The Holy Spirit will help us to have joy in what we're anticipating. The book ends. I'm so thankful today that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son called Jesus, who became the innocent Lamb of God, who was slaughtered, broken on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood once and for all, so that your sins and my sins could be atoned for. Aren't you glad for that, church? Do you know him this morning? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? He loves you. He wants us to cherish what he's done. Sing the little chorus with me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross.
troubles at last I lay down.
Here it is.
I will cling to the Orion cross and exchange it someday for a...
Help me with the words.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and blessed for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the Orion cross. Sit someday for them. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction to me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to die album.
Stand if we could and sing this.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my feet at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange someday for
Let's sing this with commitment. Verse 3, here we go.
To the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see.
Here it is now.
For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday.
So we're going to sing the last verse here in just a moment. This is where I want to say to you this morning. If there is division in your heart between you and the Father, and you haven't done business with Him this morning, I just want to pray. We prayed this a couple of times this morning already, but I want to give you another opportunity. Maybe you want to come and pray. I know Lenny, he loves Jesus, but he's here doing business. Maybe you need to do business with the Lord. It's okay. We're friends and God loves us. And if you'd like to respond this morning and just Tell the Lord whatever you've got to tell the Lord. I believe that He'll hear your prayer. So if that's you this morning, I just like you to slip out if you are so led. And I'm going to pray for you today as we prepare. Lord, I thank you today for your forgiveness and your grace. And I pray, Lord, for anyone here today, wherever they are, however they position themselves, and they're not right with you, I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you would give us the courage to accept you as Lord and Savior, to put sin behind us and put righteousness before us, the cross before us. Give us courage, give us boldness, give us strength, oh God. Help us this morning to realize what you offer us through Jesus and understand that you've done all the work. All we have to do is say yes. And so I pray, Lord, as we sing this fourth verse, it's our testimony today. God, we're going to cling to the cross until the very last breath ushers us into heaven. Let's sing this chorus. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Here's the good news now. And He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Can we praise Him this morning for His goodness? Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to ask those who are helping us with communion if you